Indeed, as Dale said, it was cold weather shelter week this past week. I give thanks for Jules and Norma Lee and Ellen and Marsha and all the many, many folks, this village, who made this feat possible. It has been a while since we'd had it right at Christmas, and we knew that it was going to be a full feeling. But what a gift when those like Carl got up this past Sunday and shared what it meant to be here. Even though we have to transform a small shower and a janitorial closet, and even though we have to squeeze in and put up some cushions, bed cushions, kind of lined up in a row, again and again we hear from those who are able to stay with us what it means to be in this space. Not maybe because it's the most luxurious congregation that they're in physically, although I'll vouch for our building, but in large part because of the hospitality they receive. For the tablecloths and the way that people go all out with each and every detail, it communicates something more than just a space which is being held, and more a place which is a gathering, one that hearkens under the Church of the Savior, of which we have stemmed, the coffee house that says this is hospitality. You may have heard the word evangelism, yes, sometimes a dirty word, but one that was a big part of that community and comes from the word, right, saying good news. Good news being announced. What does it mean to have good news announced? What does it mean for the angels to proclaim something worth telling the world? What is it about this story? What is it about the life of Jesus? What is it about Christian community that is worth sharing and worth passing on? I heard one theologian say that evangelism, if we were to translate it in today's word, where it might not have some of its other connotations and residue around it, we might say hospitality is the word. For wasn't it hospitality that the shepherds were seeking to provide, even though they were coming away from their home? They wanted to bring a little something with them. The wise men later, we hear, had gifts that they wanted to pack in and they had to share for the one who was coming into being. And we know that it is God, the gracious gift giver, and the mutual reciprocation of what it means to then take on fleshly form and give us hope. Give us hope that God is yet still with us in our fleshly form. I give thanks for this. I give thanks because lately, as you may have heard on Sunday, I've been standing on a corner in this current body flesh I have and just waving at people. I've been going out almost Monday through Friday when I can, and I get out there and I wave and I use my hand that God gifted me and I just give one of these. Oftentimes I know that I won't be able to see if they're waving back at me, but what does it mean to be seen? What does it mean to have good news to share? Constantly people are asking me, why are you there? And I say, to spread some joy, I hope. To spread some joy, I hope, because I do believe in this gospel story somewhere in these pages, there is still good news to share. Good news for the people, good news for a Christ who is coming with justice to subvert some of our power structures and to show a way in which we can still make decisions, in which we would care for the earth in which we've been gifted, and to meet people at the intersections and roads of life of which they have been marginalized. For we know this poor boy born in the manger did not come in the best of circumstances. We know that he came in crude circumstances in a humble way, and that's part of the means for us to know that he wasn't going to be the kind of king that they may have wanted. He wasn't going to be the kind of king who said, step aside, Herod. It was quite the opposite. It was Herod who was saying, I will kill and slaughter innocents just so that I can try and find you because you are a threat in baby form to what my empire, what part of the empire I'm about might mean. What does this mean for us today, except the humble? That's these places where we expect Jesus to continually be born. Do we believe that Christ can be born each and every moment in our hearts? Is that the good news that we might share? Is that the good news that we show up on Christmas Eve to proclaim? Is that what we leave here with, believing that we carry it into another year with hope? Hope for this world? Do we see signs of despair anywhere? Do we see signs in our world and in our way in which we might be weary and downtrodden? Do we see a divide on one side and the other? And how are we asked to make room? Let there be room. Let there be space. How do we maneuver ourselves, maybe pushing our despair to the left? And we grab our lamentation and we try to take it right. And if we get there in that comfortable place in the middle in the plot of our ground, we may just see. We may just see that there's enough space for God to push through again. I met a woman, a neighbor today, who is an airline pilot. And she was telling me about the joy that she tries to bring into the world each and every day. Maybe you've sat on her plane when she says, I'd just like to learn the children's names and make a little bag and have their name on the pretzels. It might seem like a small thing, but when you're on the plane, it can be a scary situation. All these people packed in, talk about crowded. I'm glad you're not traveling today on such planes. You're here. But for someone to take the extra time and attention to say, hospitality here where I'm looking out for you, I'm going to get you that extra glass of water. And I'm going to find those little wings that the pilot has so I can stick them on for you to make sure this experience was a good one. Friends, we know we can't ensure that everyone's experience here on earth is a good one. We know that Jesus' life itself was in a crude way, and his powerful ministry went to those places of sickness and despair and entered into them with a message of hope. And we know what came next. We know that because he dared to face the powers that be, he led to a place of ultimate suffering. And because the world was in such a way where love was a threat, he took on that great suffering and he took it unto his body. And as we come to the table, we recognize the fleshly form of what it means to be humbled in this life and the fleshly form of what it means to yet find hope. Now we have a choice about how we share the good news we feel upon our hearts. I was a little bit chagrined earlier in this week when there was another person on the corner, but down over at Little Patuxent, right down this way at Broken Land. And it's someone I had seen before, and he had a cardboard sign. And at first you think, okay, and it says Jesus. But I was hard-hearted when I later heard him say, you out of here. And I was trying to understand what he meant by that. And he was saying, if you didn't believe in Jesus, if you didn't believe in this, then there was no room for you. There was no room for you. And so when he took his sign and then he started chasing a school bus and came back and he said it again, you out of here. Oh, my heart lamented, friends, for the good news that he felt was on his heart that he was trying to spread, but made me feel anything but joyful, made me trepidatious to get back on the corner and yet called back to get on this corner down here just to say something different in terms of the good news that I believe that a God of inclusivity and love has shared. I don't know that gentleman's story. I'm assuming it's wrapped in some pain and some heartache. I don't know his full intention. It's so easy to judge, isn't it? So easy for me to get into a place, a judgment, when I don't know where he's coming from, when I meet his judgment with judgment, and I think to our world and our leaders and the ways that insults are slung, and it feels like a you, you're out of here. We don't have that luxury, friends. When we encounter the good news of this text, we don't have the luxury of pointing out people and dismissing them, either from our lives or from their importance in the kingdom of God. We don't have that luxury. For Jesus came, and the good news was to make more room. And the reality is, if we're going to squeeze through the hole that Christ would create between lamentation and despair, that we're not going it alone. We might feel like we've arrived at the table and all are welcome, but we look back and someone is pointing and we say, hold up a minute. If we're going to get through this doorway, then we've got to do this like Christ would too, and wait patiently and listen to the story, to walk alongside this neighbor and to hear what it is they have to say. And if they need to be angry, Let the anger roll. And if they need to talk about the divided state of our nation and take a side to listen and to lament as well. And then one by one, as the time might be right, allow there to be space too where that person would come in and be a part of the good news. I'm encouraged, friends. I'm encouraged by the ways in which I know that Christ is continually to be born in our midst. I give thanks that there are places at crossroads and border towns and maybe even a nearby detention center in which the Spirit of Christ is being made known, finding hope, even when we know that some people go without shoes in the detention center for days on end with cold feet. Even though we know that there's a current debate about whether there will be an ICE facility here in our county, we don't know. Despair. Lamentation. The reality that Jesus is at the margins. I think again of our neighbor who's the flight attendant and the names of children that she writes on pretzels. I think of the ability to stand on the corner even when all of these things are happening. I think of the good news that the angels spread when they stuck out their existence of joy. And I think of the hope of a story I heard recently, which you may be familiar with, one in which I hope brings the joy that really communicates what it is to allow Christmas to come in any time and in any place. In her poem, Gate A4, poet Naomi Shihab Nye writes of her encounter in the airport as she was wandering. She could have easily turned out the overhead announcement, tuned it out, but she didn't. She writes, "Wandering around the Albuquerque airport terminal, after learning my flight had been delayed for 4 hours, it's a long time, I heard an announcement. If anyone in the vicinity of Gate A4 understands any Arabic, please come to the gate immediately. Well, one pauses these days. Gate A4 was my own gate. I went there. I stooped to put my arm around the woman and spoke haltingly. She spoke in Arabic. The minute she heard any words she knew, however poorly used, she stopped crying. She thought the flight had been canceled entirely. She needed to be in El Paso for major medical treatment the next day. I said, 'No, we're fine. We'll get there just later. Who is picking you up? Let's call him.'" It's as if the poet Naomi had scooped up the Mother Mary from the floor of the airport and said, "There's going to be room. Don't you see? Christ was born at Gate A4 on that fateful day. The indwelling, the love of God, the birthing sense of the Spirit was then and is now and yet can be. In tender, familiar words, the poet conveyed the truth in the language that the woman could comprehend. The good news. For when she met the fear in the woman that was the difference between death and life for her, Naomi conveyed the news that there was only a delay. The poet made room for her and was blessed in the process. Let every heart prepare him room." The poet continued in this way. "We called her son. I spoke with him in English. I told him I would stay with his mother till we got on the plane and ride next to her. She talked to him. Then we called her other sons just for the fun of it. Then we called my dad, and he and she spoke for a while in Arabic and found out, of course, that they had 10 shared friends. Then I thought, just for the heck of it, why not call some Palestinian poets I know and let them chat with her? This all took up to 2 hours. She was laughing a lot by then, telling of her life, patting my knee, answering questions. She had pulled a sack of homemade mamul cookies, little powdered sugar, crumbly mounds stuffed with dates and nuts from her bag, and was offering them to all the women at the gate. To my amazement, not a single woman declined one. It was like a sacrament. The traveler from Argentina, the mom from California, the lovely woman from Laredo. We were all covered with the same powdered sugar and smiling. There is no better cookie. And then the airline broke out free apple juice from huge coolers. And two little girls from our flight ran around serving it. And they were covered with powdered sugar, too. And I noticed my best friend, my new best friend, by now we were holding hands, had a potted plant poking out of her bag. Some medicinal thing with green furry leaves. Such an old country tradition. Always carry a plant. Always stay rooted somewhere. And I looked around the gate of late and weary ones, and I thought, this is the world I want to live in. The shared world. Not a single person in it, in that gate, once the crying of confusion stopped, seemed apprehensive about any other person. They took the cookies. I wanted to hug all those other women, too. This can still happen anywhere, she writes. Not everything is lost. This can still happen on our corner, friends. This can still happen at the intersections of your life, at the airport, the grocery store, just about anywhere you might end up. When those who are on their side of unknowing become familiar faces. When those who would otherwise be those to be feared become those with delightful powdered sugar stuck on their nose. Come, friends, not because the world is perfect. Come to this table and this feast because we still have good news to share with it. Come because there are still places, dark places, in which the light of God, the light of Christ, still might shine through you. Come because as you prepare room in your own hearts, when the overhead announcement is made, when the call is put upon your heart to show up in the next space in which you are needed, you will have the room, friends, to respond. To respond how God might tug on your heart, to pull out from your own bag the treats that you might share, and to remember always that there is good news to be had in Bethlehem. There is good news that comes from the Christ child. That there is good news as it mirrors back into your life. You who once were a baby. You who have been born. You who will live out this life until it's finished. You who grace us with your presence now. And you who hope one day. I hope that we all might join with the angels, proclaiming glory to God on the highest, peace on earth to all whom God favors. Amen.